Mira
Malka.
Hello.
Hello. Morning.
Morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Are you the only one on?
There was someone else here a minute ago.
No, there's somebody else on as well. So, good morning, Kodesh Tov to everyone.
I'm going to mute.
Okay. Today's class is on Psalm 72, and you can find the handout, or all three handouts, on the Unique Astrological Times link. If you, once that landing page opens up, if you scroll down to the period of the Ta'anit Dibur, that's spelled T-A-A-N-I-T, Dibur, D-E-B-U-R. And it refers to a fast of words, which is a period that is coming up during the month of January. We'll explain it again. The Ta'anit Dibur is where we began studying the Psalms almost 2 years ago. When you get to that section, click on the Psalms landing page from Psalm 69 to 150. And when that landing page opens up, scroll down to Psalm 72, which is almost about 60% of the way down the page. And at the bottom of the section that's for Psalm Tehillim 72, you'll find two links. And we will be using both links, which are the Rabbi Sutton's translation. And we will also be using the Mechon Mamre translation. But I'll give you a half a minute or so to find the page. If you have any questions, go ahead and ask. And we start with the words Tehillim 72 in the Psalms landing page. And we'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud, Kudsha Barichu, Ishki David, Hilu Urchimud, Hilu Ud, Hilu Urchimud. Le'akta, L'shem Yudhe Bavate, the Yehuda, Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael. Limud Torah Mitzvah, Lasok Torah Mitzvah, Vayehino Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kununei Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kununeihu. Tehillim 72. In this awe-inspiring prayer, King David speaks of his enemy's desire to kill him, declaring him deserving of death. And the above kavanah is a traditional kavanah, a traditional intention to use when saying this psalm. The first word is, Yor Hashem comes. It's not in Hebrew, actually, and we'll read it shortly. But please refer to the introduction in this Yearning for Redemption PDF, which is Rabbi Sutton's translation. It starts on page 6. It runs a number of pages, but it has a lot of information about the Psalms. And I highly recommend reading the introduction, which is about 50 pages in its complete structure, because the information is very special. There are 24 verses in Psalm 72. And the number 24 connects to the number of the hours of the day, which is really a day and a night, 12 each. But as we know, the number of hours doesn't change in a day, but the length of the hour changes and is determined by the length of the sun being up or the moon being up. That's based on the Hebrew calendar, the Hebrew time frame. The 24 hours has 12 hours of light and 12 hours of dark, but the length of the hour changes. There are 67 day verses that are said on day 13. Day 13 is the, we're talking about the 13th day of the calendar, because there is a practice for some to say the Psalms over the course of a month. There's 30 days in the month. The 13th day is the day event. The energy of that day is unity, as it comes from the number 13, which connects to the gematria of the Hebrew word echad, which means oneness or unity. The number 67 connects to the Hebrew words with the same gematria that translates as and I, and eat, and your mother, and many other words. But 67 is the gematria of the Hebrew word bina. The Hebrew word bina means understanding. The Hebrew word bina means a sefirah of understanding, an intellectual sefirah, which is always in unity with chachma, wisdom. Bina is the world that is coming. The phrase is olam ba, olam haba, the world that comes. But it also is translated as the world that is coming. The world that comes, chas v'shalom, will never arrive, because it's always in the future. But the world that is coming will manifest It will arrive. It will be here. In fact, it is here now, if we only will correct ourselves. We're going to start with the PDF file with Rabbi Sutton's translation. We start with verse 1.
Lishlomo Elohim Mishpatecha L'melech ten v'tzidkatcha L'aven melech Lishlomo,
to Shlomo, which is King Shlomo, but it could also be the word to my peace, to my completion. All of those are built into the word Shlomo. A psalm by David for Shlomo. Elohim, the God of justice, bestow your judgment on the king and your merciful justice on the king's son. So it is clear it's talking about King Shlomo, the son of King David. The second verse.
Yadinam ha be'edek be'ani echa b'mishpat.
Give him the wisdom to judge your people with equity and your poor with justice. And you will see in the smaller print in the English translation, the words give him the wisdom too. And that smaller print is an indication that the words are not there in Hebrew. These are the additional words that Rabbi Sutton adds to give understanding to the Hebrew. If we transfer to the Machon Mamre website, and we read the English translation of verse 2, that he may judge thy people with righteousness and thy poor with justice. This is a more original, more literal translation. You can see it by looking in the Hebrew. The last two words, the vav is an and. Ani, ayin, nun, yud, means poor. And the kaf at the end means you're poor. The two double yuds in that word represent plural. It's not referring to one poor person. It's referring to all poor people. And the word mishpat is a word that has the Gematria, of this current year, 5780, which was spelled Tashin Pei Tet. Excuse me, this is last year, 5779. Tashin Pei Tet. It's not exact because obviously the Gematria is different. Tav is 400. Membet is 42. But 42, we know, is the Anabekoach. It's the creation of justice. That's what's built into this word that is being translated. With justice. But it actually is saying with and from justice. Justice is Shin Pei Tet. Shin Pei Tet is one of the words for justice, but also Tzedek means justice. And there are no synonyms in Hebrew. So you can see that the difficulty that Rabbi Sutton had in trying to give the full intent of these words. Always remember, a verse in Hebrew has 70 explanations. And each translation is a commentary expressing the agenda, my word is term agenda, in expressing the intent of the translator. The third verse, going back to the PDF file,
Yisu harim shalom lam ugvaot v'tzedakah.
The mountains will then yield peace for the people, and the hills too, in the merit of tzedakah, when the people employ the good they have received, not only for their own advantage, but for the welfare of their fellow man. Do you see the change of intent when you look at the smaller letters, what Rabbi Sutton injects? There are six words in the Hebrew of this verse, and the number six connects to Zeranpin. The six Sefirot, Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, and Yesod. And Zeranpin represents Moses, who is considered the chariot for Zeranpin, and it also represents Adam, Ha'adam, mankind. The word harim is translated usually as a sea of mountains, a sea of the mountain, a sea of a mountain. But it's also the plural of the word har, which is mountain. So it's mountains, as Rabbi Sutton has expressed. But the mountains, which is, we can make the connection that they dropped the definite article, hey, because it started that way. But we really can't, because many times we will see the word hahar, meaning the mountain, which is Mount Sinai. But when it says the mountains, or mountains, in plural without the definite article, it can be Kabbalistically referring to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to the three Sefirot of Chesed, Gevurah, and Tiferet. If we're transferring to the third verse in the Mechon Mamre website, let the mountains bear peace to the people, and the hills through righteousness. It's quite a difference in the understanding and the translations of these two verses, is it not? And there are 26 letters in the verse telling us that there's a connection to Hashem, because 26 is the gematria of the Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, or Yud-Hei-Vav-Hei. Verse number 4.
Yishpod ani am yoshin livnei evyon. We dake
defend the right of the poor of the people, be a deliverer of the children of the needy, and crush anyone who would oppose them. There's no additional words being used in this translation, but let us see how it changes when we look at the Mahon Mamre translation. May he judge the poor of the people and save the children of the needy and crush the oppressor. Rabbi Sutton translated save to deliver or be a deliverer. And he also changed the concept of oppressor to be anyone who would oppress them. This is why I try and use Rabbi Sutton's translations, but he has not completed all 150 Psalms. We've been through a number of Psalms where he did not translate it. And the reason is because they're difficult to translate the meaning of them. Rabbi Sutton is a translator of Hebrew to English. He was hired by Rabbi Kaplan to translate his writings. He was hired by this widow of Rabbi Kaplan to translate the writings that have never been translated. He is considered a premier translator because he's always striving to get to the intent of the Hebrew meanings rather than the literal translation. The fifth verse.
Yirauha im shemesh velifne yareach dor dorim.
So that they may fear you as long as the sun shines, and before the moon throughout all the generations. Now let's look at the English translation in Mahon Mamre. They shall fear thee while the sun endures, and so long as the moon throughout all generations. It's really, as we know, there's this synergy, the symmetry of the times, of the energy of the period. This fifth verse is using a phrase that's unusual in my opinion. The last two words, Dor Dorim. You've heard it expressed frequently as Dor Vador. Generation to generation is the literal translation. But there's another word for generation that is in this, the title or the name of this week's parasha, Toldot. Toldot means generation. And Dor Vador means generations. But there are no I lost a word, it'll come to me soon. There are no synonyms in Hebrew. So there needs to be a difference in the understanding of what is Dor Vador or Dor Vador Dorim and the word Toldot. They both translate as generation or generations, and yet they are different, because there are no synonyms. And I did read something this week that explains it, so I'm going to ask you to give me a second to see if I can find it. I did save it. No, I haven't, don't have it right at hand. And I really would not do justice to explain the difference. But there will be another time that it will come up. And I will explain it then once I fully understand the concept and what are the differences. But one, they both represent children, continuity that children represent, they both represent this process of one generation leaves and another generation comes. But the word toldot has a deeper meaning because it can refer to your students as the generation to come. It can refer to the concept of the spiritual work that you have done during your lifetime and how that is your continuity. Whereas the word Dor Vador or Dor Dorim refers strictly to the physical beings that you leave behind. Those people who remember you, even after you pass. And it doesn't leave, that continuity doesn't leave until they pass. And the people who remember them and their stories about you pass. Chas v'shalom. But the real, the deeper meaning of toldot is the continuity of your thoughts and your teachings and your expression and your actions. And as I said, I'm not doing the differences in between the two words justice. The sixth word. Yere kematar alges kirvivim zarzif. Aretz. I'm reading from the translation of Rabbi Sutton's PDF. May his words descend and enter their hearts like rain upon mown grass, as showers that water the earth. poetic expression. There are seven words to this verse, and seven we know is the number of the lower Sephirot. It represents the unity, the zivug, the intercourse between Zerantin and Malchut. Let's see the difference in the literal translation without his additional words. In his days, sixth verse, may he come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. It's almost the same, but there's a significant difference in the words that Rabbi Sutton adds. Twenty-six letters in verse 6 connecting us to Hashem, Yud Hey Vav Hey, through its gematria of 26. Verse 7. Ifrach be'amal tzadik v'ro shalom ad b'li yareach. Let the righteous flourish in his days and bring abundant peace until the moon will be needed no more. Even Rabbi Sutton's his translation is not literal at all. We'll see when we see the Machon Mamre, or maybe not. We'll find out. In his days, let the righteous flourish and abundance of peace till the moon be no more. The last three words is both being translated similarly, so the moon be no more. The word b'li means without. The word ad is witness. Yareach is a verb. Will the moon never be not needed? The moon is female. The females are always needed for continuity. The female is the Kabbalistically, the male is sharing and the female is receiving. Will there come a time when humanity will no longer need to receive? In my opinion, this verse is describing that aspect when the complete tikkun, what's referred to as Gemar tikkun, is completed, and humanity will no longer need to receive from a god, because humanity will be a god unto itself. This is only my opinion, but that we need to ask questions, and there are always deeper answers to our questions. Why was the world created? Why was the universe created? Why was mankind created? And I have postulated from various verses in Psalm and from various thoughts that I have had that ultimately the purpose of the tikkun, the purpose of mankind learning to teach the body to share. That process is to arrive at being a friend to Hashem. Hashem created a child called mankind that will grow ultimately to be the friend of Hashem. But here these words are saying that mankind will reach a point where it will no longer depend on Hashem for its existence. It will be able to energize itself. And this is the meaning of this phrase, Ad Beli Yareach, till the moon be no more. It's not that we will lose the ability to receive, but we will learn to empathize. This is all my opinion. It's just the thought that occurred to me, because truthfully, I have never read the Psalms in their completion before. I never read this verse before. I never focused on this phrase before. And this is what occurred to me. Remember, never believe a word I say, but contemplate and see if there's truth in it for you. The eighth verse.
V'yecha miyam ad yam uminahar ad afse aretz.
Let him rule from sea to sea and from the great river to the ends of the earth. Do you see the word ketz, which would be the word end? Well, this is, I'm reading from Rabbi Sutton's translation. I'm not saying that his translation is incorrect. I would never do that. I find him to be a master translator. But he's translating this phrase, ad, can be until, but it's actually also a witness. Afse is ephes, and the ephes is a Yiddish word, but it's Hebrew. Ephes means empty, nothing, nothingness. And afse with the yud at the end means my nothingness, my emptiness. And aretz is land or earth, as Rabbi Sutton has said here. And so it's from the great river, which is the word nahar, the word prior to ad, from the river. Rabbi Sutton adds the word great. What is the great river? The word, the river that comes out of Eden, which is Bina. So it's really talking about, in code, the Sephirot, from Bina to Malchut, to the ends of the earth, but to the nothingness of the earth, because the earth has no light of its own. It has to receive. But ultimately, if the verse before that we just translated is talking about learning not to have to receive, but to energize yourself. I'm reading verse 8 on the Machon Mamre. May he have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river unto the ends of the earth. You can see the similarity, but you also see the differences. And there are eight words hinting to us that this is connecting to Bina, to Olam Haba, the world that is coming. 25 letters representing 5 times 5. What is 5? 5 is a different frame of reference from the 10 Sephirot. But it is the same. It is all of the creation, all of the desire to receive, all of the vessel. It is Keter, Chachma, Bina, Zeranpin, and Malchut. And this is different than Keter, Chachma, Bina, Chesed, Gevura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchut. This is, as you learn Kabbalah, as you come connected to Hashem in that process of studying and learning Kabbalah, you will come to understand more of the differences between this frame of reference of 5, representing the 5 worlds, which is this vessel in the light in unity, and the 10 Sephirot, which represents the vessels. The 9th verse. Lefanav yikre'u yitzim v'yobav afar yelecheku. Let nobles kneel before him and his enemies lick the dust. And the Machon Mamre translation, let them that dwell in the wilderness bow before him, and his enemies lick the dust. The verse is very poetic, as you see. Yet what is its true meaning? What is dust? It's very numerous. What is dust? If you ask my sister or my mother, they would tell you that dust is something you don't like. But is that what it's really saying here? It's saying that the enemies will feed on dust. They won't disappear. They just will become worthless. And that's really a wrong concept for me to be saying about human beings, because no human being becomes worthless. The 10th verse. Malke Tarshish Vim Min Chayishivu Malke Shiva Uzva Eshkar Yakrivu. Let the kings of Tarshish and of distant lands pay tribute, and the kings of Sheba and Sheba other gifts. Tarshish is where Yonah chose to run away from Hashem. And I have explained through the gematria of Tarshish being 1210 and the gematria of Nineveh, the city he was to go to, which we think is Damascus, to teach them to repent, to prophesy they will be destroyed if they don't repent. And they repented. And I have explained from my own point of view that Tarshish represents the shorter path, which is always the longer path. The shorter path tries to skip steps. Yonah was not running away from God, although that's what the verses say in the book of Yonah. Yonah was trying to shorten the process by going to the completion of Nineveh, which is 121 times 10 is 1210. By running to Tarshish, he was trying to connect to the completion, the correction of Nineveh, shortening the path. And what that particular truth explains to me is there is no shorter path, because it will always be longer. It will always be harder. And that's where the rule, the law of binding by striking. If you have two choices, what path appears to be to you at that moment to be the more difficult, to be the longer path? That's the path to take, because ultimately it means it's a step-by-step process. It means it's the shortest path. Because in the illusion, it appears to you to be the longest. Verse 11. Vayishtachavu lo kol melachim, kol goyim yavduhu. Let all the kings bow down before him, and all the nations serve him. Looking at verse 11 in the Mechon Mamre, all the kings shall prostrate themselves before him, and all the nations shall serve him. What an amazing word. The last word of this verse is. The first four letters, Yud, Ayin, Bet, Dalet. Ayin, Bet, Dalet means slave or serve, slave or work. It's referring to spiritual work. The Yud at the beginning of the word connects to Hashem. And also the Yud represents a verb. So it's talking about slavery. It's talking about working. But the last three letters, Vav Hey Vav, is one of the 72 names of God. It's the first of the 72 names of God. It's the name of God that we use as a time tunnel to take us back to Mount Sinai. But it doesn't have to be to Mount Sinai. It could be to creation itself. It could be anything in our personal past. It's a tool to return to the past, to make teshuvah, to change the outcome, to change the decision. The translations in both cases are very similar. All the nations shall serve him. That is correct. It's a literal translation. But service needs to be constantly reviewed. What work did you do? What actions did you do? Was it truly serving the other person that you were interacting with? Use this word to constantly evaluate your own spiritual location, your own spiritual actions. We're going to stop here. Does anyone have any questions? We're stopping because of time considerations. Are there any questions? While you're unmuting yourself, I'll remind you that Motzi Shabbat, 7 p.m. Saturday night, we will have a class in the Zohar for the Parasha of Vayetze. I hope you'll join us for that. And Sunday at 10:30, we will continue our study of the Book of Job. And at 3 p.m., our advanced reincarnations. All of these times are West Coast times, so please make the adjustment for your own time zone. Are there any questions? I bid you all Shabbat Shalom, a beautiful day, and a wonderful Shabbat. And remember, it's Rosh Chodesh. So make your connection to the Samach, that means to support, and the Gimel, that is made up of the Zion and the Yud, the Matria 17, the goodness of supporting. And make your connection to the permutation today. Wow. Yo, hey, hey, why, 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 yo, hey, hey. Why, oh, hey, hey. Shabbat Shalom. Shalom Gadol.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you.
Thank you. Shalom.